the south side.
No, it's not.
It's the dark side.
You are correct.
Hey everybody, welcome back to episode 4 of The Brothers Geek.
One of the best episodes. That's for later.
One of the best episodes. Dun dun dun. Hey.
Might not be, though.
Is it, what side is it, bro? Is it the east or the west side?
Oh no.
Is it, or is it the north or the south side?
No, it's not.
You are correct.
Oh man.
Classic.
Classic.
Classic. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris.
And like we said, we are The Brothers Geek.
The Brothers Geek.
So as we start off every episode, what are we drinking tonight?
Well, we're doing two different beers tonight. We're not splitting a bomber like we usually do. I'm going to go ahead and drink mine for the first time. I've never had this beer.
Never had it.
Definitely not saying that for the podcast either. Yeah,
definitely not.
It's called Dia de los Muertos beer, and
seasonal.
Day of the Dead. It is a seasonal. It's called Pay the Ferryman.
It sounds badass.
Yeah, seriously, Pay the Ferryman. Awesome. I'm a little concerned because where I work, I had to order this beer for like our sets that we're doing. So, I haven't tried it, and it stuck around for a hell of a long time after the holiday season last year, and I had to buy 10 cases of it, and I was like, it was the only way to do it. So, maybe it's not as bad as...
Let's find out.
First problem, twist top, and...
Automatic red flag.
I'm very concerned about it, but it sounds badass.
Alright, go for it. Dive in.
Alright. Oh, it's a porter, by the way. So that's why I was like, well, maybe it'll be okay, because I really like porters. They can have a lot of good flavor, but...
Let's find out.
Yeah. And,
Scale of 1 to 10. Oof.
It's like a 4?
Oof.
Maybe. Hey. It's bad.
A 4 for our fourth episode.
Oh my god. It just... There's, like, the hint of porter up front. It's, like, the hint of, like, flavor. And then it's, like, nope.
You know what? I changed my mind.
Never mind.
I gotta pay the ferryman.
I don't want you to have an enjoyable experience.
Yeah, I gotta pay the ferryman to not have to drink this ever again.
I have 10 cases. Well, I have... The other one's an IPA and the other one's a pale.
So they can be different. Them to be,
yeah. Maybe the IPA. The pale's just gonna be boring.
Yeah. Well, I'm drinking something that's actually good. Because I've had it before.
Yeah.
Left Hand Milk Stout. I'm a big fan of milk stouts. Why don't you hand that to me right quick?
Oh, my God. Just put it within reach.
No. So it is a stout, obviously.
Nice.
It's milk stout. It's very
handy. Why do they call it a milk stout?
Because back in the day when it was believed, and still is believed, that milk is good for you, this is what it is, right? They started advertising it as milk stout so that more people would buy it because they would correlate milk with healthy for
healthiness.
You. And so they'd buy it to be healthy when in reality it has nothing, it's not made with like dairy or anything like that. It's just...
You're halfway true.
Okay.
That's more than I expected. That was the result of them actually, they actually did put lactose. So milk stouts have lactose, like extra lactose in them. It makes it creamier. Like texture and a little bit sweeter, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But I know it makes it a creamier texture, and that's why they keep doing it. So,
okay,
I think I do remember reading something about the advertising.
I read that in the beer Bible that you gave me.
The beer Bible
for Christmas last year.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. But it's delicious.
It is good. It is a good milk stout. One of my favorite stouts. In general, because I really like milk stouts, and I really like it Left Hand. So, win-win.
Get some, which I'm glad you're enjoying your experience.
I am. You can have some of mine here and there if you want to.
That's a brother right there.
That's a bro. That's a real bro. What have you been watching or playing this week?
I
feel like it's been a while.
It's been a long week. I'm glad we got this in a little bit earlier. I thought we were going to have to do this at the end of the week, and then we're going to have a long in between. Just want to thank everybody for listening because it's been cool. We've just got up on iTunes
yeah.
the last episode, and it's been really nice seeing more and more subscribers come in, like over 10 a day, which is a lot, obviously.
Shout out to those subscribers in Mexico.
Yeah. Seriously, thank you. And
gracias.
It's been cool to see that and know that there's more than just, you know, two people listening.
Yeah, now it's not just shout out to Michael, it's shout out to Max, shout out to Andrew, shout out to Javier, I don't know.
Racist. Oh, why are you racist on every episode?
Because the alcohol.
Oh, that makes sense. But what I've been watching and doing this week, still playing through The Witcher 3. That's always fun. Still enjoying having the controller. I actually feel like I can
manage. You're in control.
Yeah, exactly. So that's been fun. Not a whole lot new going there. I'm pretty much just getting all those question marks on the map done. And then I'm like, oh yeah, there's a story.
If this was Mario Party, you'd get the happening star with all the question marks that you're landing on.
Watched a couple movies this week. I have somehow not watched. I'm 60 years behind or whatever it is. 2001 A Space Odyssey. So I finally watched that one. And God, I can't believe how they did some of that stuff.
Yeah, from what I was catching of it, it was pretty cool.
Some of the shots are unbelievable, even by today's standard. Well, obviously, the special effects were very good, especially for the 60s. I mean, it was the first of its kind, probably, that made space seem like it was realistic and not just, like, literally a green hand in space attacking the Enterprise.
In space. Or a dog bone floating by.
But some of those shots, too, inside, when they're trying to, like, make it seem there's no gravity, and they explain that the attendants on board, like, the shuttle going in between Earth and the space station, they have these, like, gripper boots that they, like, have so they can not be floating around in the zero gravity. But then, since it's zero gravity, they can kind of... They don't just go up and down the aisle. They actually walk up onto the ceiling and then go through, like, this other... you know, part of the ship, and it's all one shot. So you see, like, the flight attendant, she comes walking in, and she goes straight away from the camera, and then she turns to walk up the wall, and then goes on the ceiling, and then goes through the other, like, door upside down on the ceiling, and it's all one shot, and I'm like, what the hell? How did they do that?
Space Odyssey.
My God. And it was so good. I especially loved it all the way up until... spoilers, if you haven't seen it in 60 years like I am.
Am I going to have to put a spoiler alert on this episode?
In all honesty, if you haven't seen 2001, you know what happens already because it's such a big part of the culture.
Yeah.
But the end was really, really weird, and I'm going to have to watch it again at some point because I'm not 100% sure how I feel about it. I really enjoyed that the whole movie leads to these, like, monoliths that they're trying to find. And when he, like, actually is able to kind of enter one, whether it's a vision or whatever it is, it's trippy as hell. And I appreciate that it's not some, like, you know, just right off, like, I didn't even know, like, some crappy ending.
Yeah.
It was just trippy, and, like, I would never have been able to expect it. So that was cool. So I really enjoyed it. And then the HAL 9000 computer is as iconic for a good reason. It's such a... just terrifying in a, like, psychological way. There's no jump scares or anything, but
yeah,
oh my God, just the way it talks, so creepy, like, so creepy. And he has, like, a personality without showing emotion in his voice somehow, and it's so good.
Do you know who does the voice of it?
I don't.
Well,
oh, I thought you had an answer.
I don't.
I was like, oh my God, you got this cool,
I was
little,
legitimately,
like,
asking you.
It was like young Christopher Lee or some shit. Like, that's what I was expecting.
It was actually a 12-year-old Benedict Cumberbatch. Probably wasn't even born yet.
He was floating around in space like the other baby. And then I went and rewatched Inside Llewyn Davis. And my girlfriend lives out in Nashville. And we did something super gay and watched it at the same time. We didn't watch it over FaceTime together.
I was going to say,
give me some credit. not over the phone, but we called each other after so we could talk about it. And it was just way more depressing than I remember it being. I still really love that movie because it's not a typical, like, plot progression. It just kind of ends and you're like, oh. Life kind of sucks. But Oscar Isaac in it is really good because he plays a character who's kind of a piece of shit, but you still like him as a character, you know? You still, like, appreciate what he's doing, and you connect with him in a way. I don't want to say you like him, but you resonate with him.
Yeah.
Like, his journey to find what the hell he's supposed to do in his life. It really is
very,
like,
a relatable journey.
Yeah. As we sit here doing this podcast.
Yeah.
So I still recommend that one. I won't talk too much in depth. It's still a 2015 movie, so I'll let you go see that one on your own. If you haven't seen Inside Llewyn Davis, Coen Brothers, it's really, really excellent. And
I should watch it.
John Goodman, my God. so random in that movie. Also the best part of that movie.
Nice.
So that was kind of the big highlights of my week.
Sweet.
Yeah. What about you?
I gotta admit, haven't been watching much. I'm behind on Mr. Robot by, I think, 2 episodes?
Yeah. You said that last week.
I was behind by 1 episode.
Oh, okay.
I still haven't watched it. But I haven't been spoiled by anything, so that's good. So don't... We haven't gotten any mail yet. I don't want our first mail to be spoilers.
It's gonna be Matt's. He's gonna email you what happened in the last 2 episodes.
Damn it. But I've been trying to watch more anime, like new anime that I haven't seen, because I always go back to like Attack on Titan or like Full Metal. But I was like, man, I want to watch something new, but I just haven't really been able to find anything. So if you have a suggestion, let me know.
What's our email? They can email you some suggestions or Twitter.
TheBrothersGeek@yahoo.com or Twitter at BrothersGeekPod. So
we will take suggestions on games to play, movies to watch,
shows to watch, music to listen to.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Books to read.
Funny YouTube videos with cats. I don't know. Or huskies falling downstairs.
Oh my God.
Dramatic effect.
Long live the king.
Oh, man. But playing a lot of Smite still. Still on that train.
I have to admit, this is, like, the most you've played a game from, like, week to week, I think. Because usually I've noticed you have, like, a pattern. You'll get a new game,
yeah,
you beat it, you love it, or if it's, like, a Skyrim game that just keeps going on forever, you'll, like, love it, and then suddenly you're on a new game.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, you know, that's life.
I get it.
But it's because Smite has daily login rewards, so I feel like I have to get that favor.
That's how they get you.
And those gems, those sweet gems. Hashtag grab that gem. Shout out to Weekly Planet Pod if you listen to that podcast. That was their, like, hashtag for a while when they were talking about, like, Guardians of the Galaxy and, like, the... What are they called? The gems?
Oh my God, I'm totally blanking.
Yeah, you know. You know. Power gems or the power glove.
No, God. This is gonna bug the crap out of me. I've seen Guardians like, I don't know, 4 or 5 times.
How are we able to do this podcast if we don't know? Infinity gems.
Jesus Christ, thank you. Is it gems or stones?
It depends on if you're watching the movie or reading the comics.
You just redeemed yourself.
Yep. Playing a lot of Smite. And then they just started today. Actually, the Odyssey, which is, like, their big event leading up to the, like, Smite World Championships in January.
You gonna be in those?
No. Definitely not. I just played my first game of Conquest the other day, which is, like, the classic 5v5, 3 lanes sort of thing.
Sure.
And I was playing support, and I was like, oh God, I better not be bad. But I was actually pretty good.
That's
our
good.
Team won, so...
Can't argue with
that. I wasn't a carry, but... You know, whatever. I led our team to victory in some way.
Speaking of leading teams to victory, fantasy football.
Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even want... Like, just thinking about it gives me so much pain.
Let's do yours teams first, then.
Okay. Maybe. So...
You had the most one of the worst losses you could possibly have.
Yeah, so I tied with you for the second most points scored.
Yeah, in our format, 120 points, and that's a nice game.
That is a nice game in a 12-man league with how we score.
Yeah.
And I lost.
Almost standard ESPN scoring.
Yeah.
And
I lost.
You lost.
To the person who obviously got the most points, which was only three more.
Yeah.
Because of goddamn D'Angelo Williams. I hate that guy. Because in the last 6 minutes of the game, he decided, I guess I'll score two touchdowns. It's whatever.
You had it.
We're up by 14 points, but, you know, doesn't matter to me.
And not only that, you had almost redemption at the end, because you had both Jordan Reed
and DeSean Jackson. Which, yeah, because there was still like a minute left, and
they had to drive down the field. They had to pass,
and I was like, I have two targets. And they passed it to DeSean Jackson for like 10 yards or something, like, or like, you know, 11, something like that. And I was like, okay, that's a point. Okay. I was down basically by six.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I just need to score a touchdown with one of these two players that he could throw to. And then they get a pass interference that brings them to like the 10 or 5 or like something ridiculous, like really close. And they pass to DeSean Jackson in the end zone. And he dropped, or I don't know, I wasn't actually watching the game. I don't know if he dropped it or it was just a bad pass. And then I was like, okay, that's fine. This is like tight end territory right here. And then Kirk Cousins decided to be a dick and throw an interception. And then I lost.
Yeah.
And it was brutal, man. I like, don't know, because I couldn't have played anybody else. There wasn't like there was anybody on my bench that did really well and somebody on my team that didn't do well that I could have replaced, like... I played everybody that I should have played that week.
Right.
Dicks.
Meanwhile, I had some of the top scorers in any position, like three of them.
You had a couple perfects.
Almost.
Well, I think D'Angelo took ruined over it, CJ Anderson.
Yeah, CJ Anderson from Thursday night game. Thanks, buddy.
Shout out if you're listening, CJ.
I had Andrew Luck, who had almost 400 yards and four touchdowns.
That's pretty good.
That's nice. He can do half that, and I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Every week. I'm more than happy.
Kicker.
And then Dan Bailey, who had two 50-yard-plus field goals, getting me more than most of my other players.
Yeah, well, didn't he give you like 17?
17-point, yeah.
Which I think I had second kicker, maybe, because I had Adam Vinatieri.
Yeah.
Or at least close to, because he had 12. Oh. Because he had two 50-yarders.
And I play, I feel bad for who I was playing. Because he had Keenan Allen, who went down.
Trying to pick up the Chargers.
Oh, what's his name? Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. He's probably going to get him there.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to see.
I'm the last of the first... of the losses for picks, because I scored so high, but I still lost.
It's like the worst combination.
Sucks.
If you're going to lose, get like 40 points, man.
I know. I should have known better. All I got to say is make football great again.
Oh my God.
That's the name of my team. So that sucked.
Yeah,
but at least I wasn't one of the other players
the other in player. We had someone from our league. He was down by 15 points only going into Monday night. Had the Rams defense and had a kicker. I don't know who his kicker was, but he had a kicker and he had Gurley, who's what, top three running back from the draft.
He was the first running back to go, I think.
Maybe.
Or it was
no,
him
it was Adrian.
Or...
It was Adrian.
Oh yeah.
Who?
We don't even want to talk about that.
Which also was not great.
Who did just as bad as well.
So, he only had 15 points to make up, and his team just shut down.
His team basically pooped all over themselves.
Oh my God.
The Rams defense got 1 point. Todd Gurley, I think, got four.
Yeah.
And I think
I feel like it was more production from like RB2s this week. Because like Doug Martin didn't do much for me either. Might be wrong on that. No, because like there are some
mine were about the same with DeMarco Murray and McCoy.
Yeah,
So I was happy about that.
Yeah.
They went capable, over their projections.
You are capable of scoring 120 points.
All right, let's get over it.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Next topic. God damn it.
So next topic.
I'm happy, though.
Is, before we get to our actual topic, I was perusing Reddit today, as I am like to do. The gaming section, right? And I came across this article, and it was about World of Warcraft, and it was entitled, 15 years ago today, or no, 11 years ago today, lest we forget, and it was like a Wikipedia link, and I was like, what is this?
It's gotta be Leroy Jenkins.
No.
Oh.
And it took me to a page called Corrupted Blood Incident. So if you play World of Warcraft, which I do not, especially if you played in 2005, you would know what this incident is. So let me read this. Let's get in the mindset of a World of Warcraft player.
I'm a little scared right
now. 2005. So this is how the Wikipedia article reads, right? The epidemic began on September 13th, 2005, when Blizzard introduced a new raid called Zul'Gurub into the game as part of a new update. Its end boss, Hakkar, could affect players by using a debuff called Corrupted Blood, a disease that damages players over time, this one specifically doing significant damage. The disease could be passed on between any nearby players, and would kill characters with lower levels in a few seconds, while higher level characters could keep themselves alive. So it's a debuff that was contagious, basically.
Yeah, okay.
That does a lot of damage over time very quickly.
Yeah.
And it's only supposed to last a few seconds. But due to a programming error, players' pets and minions carried the disease out of the raid.
So they just kept having it?
Yes. Non-player, non-player characters could contract the disease, but were asymptomatic to it and could spread it to others. So then there was NPCs getting it.
So the non-player characters get, oh my god.
So then there were NPCs getting it and spreading it. And this affected at least three of the game's servers. And so there was a bunch of like forums, like with pictures of just like a major town that got hit with just dead players' bodies.
Oh my god.
During the epidemic, normal gameplay was disrupted. Oh no shit.
Yeah.
Player responses varied but resembled real world behaviors. Some characters with healing abilities volunteered their services.
Oh my god.
Some lower level characters who could not help would direct people away from infected areas. Some characters would flee to uninfected character areas. And some characters attempted to spread the disease to others.
Of course.
Players in the game reacted to the disease as if there were real risk to their well-being. Blizzard Entertainment attempted to institute a voluntary quarantine to stem the disease, but it failed as some players didn't take it seriously, while others took advantage of the pandemonium.
This is all a game, which I assume you could just come back and you're fine, right?
Yeah, but if NPCs have it and just keep spreading it and stuff, like, I guess this went on for a while and Blizzard eventually fixed it, obviously, but like, how amazing would it be if Blizzard did that on purpose? Like,
let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens in a disaster scenario set up through World of Warcraft.
It's like, I was reading it, I was like, oh my god, this is amazing. Like, like, I can just imagine, like, clerics running around, like, healing for 15 gold. You know, like.
But it's pointless, because you're just going to pick it up again, right?
Unless you do it outside of an affected area, and so you get healed of it.
And then you don't die, and you stay away, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I would just not play, I guess, would be the best option.
Solution, well, I mean.
But if you're a nerd, you gotta, you know?
Which you are, by the way.
I am. So, that was just a really funny story that I needed to talk about. It's...
Oh, yeah. 11 years ago, jeez.
Lest we forget. So funny.
It's kind of crazy to think about how old that game is. Because it makes me feel old. It's
pretty old.
Because I was watching that Leroy Jenkins video in high school.
Yeah.
That was probably 12-ish years ago.
Yeah. So, the really funny part is this section. The conditions and reactions of the event attracted the attention of epidemiologists.
Oh my god.
For its implications of how human populations could react to a real-world epidemic. Counterterrorism researchers also took notice of the event.
Interesting.
Like, if terrorists decided to
do this.
Like, do this in real life.
They paid Blizzard to do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, most definitely.
Oh, it's a glitch that we couldn't fix for a month.
We have, the best, IT engineers in the world, but it's going to take a couple weeks to get it done, even though we could just shut down the servers and just fix it.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So good.
So good.
What are we talking about this week?
What are we talking about? Well, the intro song was a little bit of a giveaway.
Plus the title of the episode.
Let's ignore that. I was listening to another podcast, actually, this week, and they were ranking, the Zeldas. It took 2 hours to get to ranking the Zeldas, but I digress.
They got there eventually.
Yeah. And, there's a lot of controversy and stuff in it. And I thought, I don't know. I mean, I love Zeldas, but I haven't played nearly, the majority of them, really.
Right.
And I was like, man, what do I have a strong opinion about? Star Wars.
Yeah.
We've had this discussion a few times at beer clubs and different things. Yes, that's a thing. And it's exactly what it sounds like. there seems to be more debate on this than I would expect.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was kind of clear cut, what the order should be.
Right.
There's a couple I don't mind switching around. But other than that, I feel like it was...
Especially the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
side of things.
Yeah. Obviously the prequels are the worst.
Obviously.
But I've heard the argument that they're not, which is wrong.
A mutual friend of ours, Keenan, has said that number 3, Revenge of the Sith, is the best one. It's the best Star Wars movie, and he's wrong.
The best one. Not even, it's better than Return of the Jedi. I would harshly disagree with that.
Yes.
But at least there's some ground to, get some logic going on that. You're wrong, but...
it's your opinion, but you're wrong.
The best one, I mean,
yeah.
So, and of course, but it is popular that Phantom Menace is
the worst,
by far. And I don't agree with that.
Neither do I.
So, I don't think it's the worst. Maybe we should
start with the best.
Should we start with the best?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is obvious.
Which is.
Star Wars Christmas special.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
Empire.
Yeah, Empire Strikes Back.
Some people would argue New Hope.
And that is one that I'm 100%... There's actually...
I'm behind that.
There's another option for the first. I don't agree with it, but it's less... I agree with it less than saying New Hope is...
What, 7?
I'll accept it. We'll get there.
Okay, so for me, my best is Empire.
Yeah,
sometimes it goes back. And then the next one for me...
Well, we're not going to talk about Empire at all?
Who needs to talk about Empire?
We're going to just bypass Empire? Why is it good?
Why is it the best?
Is there anything bad about it? Is there any cringeworthy moments about it?
Yes.
Really?
I think so.
Okay. Or what? There's less good part. I don't think there's... bad part.
He walks through the snow for a little while.
It
could be shorter. He could cut to the part where he cuts open the Tauntaun a lot faster.
What, you mean Han Solo? Searching?
Yeah.
That's long for you?
Not even just Han Solo, but Luke wandering too.
That's Luke is wandering for 2 seconds.
It could be one.
Oh, okay.
He tries to grab that lightsaber for a while.
No, he doesn't.
In the ice game.
No, he doesn't. It's the perfect amount of tension.
I'm just kidding.
That they ruined with the special editions, by the way.
Yeah.
It was way more tense. I remember I was fucking terrified of that scene as a kid.
Because you don't see the actual.
Yeah, because you don't see it. You hear it coming, and Luke's trying to get it, and you're like. And you just don't. And then all of a sudden, it's jumping at the screen. It's so good. But then they, have the Wampa munching on the Tauntaun like he's eating a McRib, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, there's something about that that just isn't terrifying
yeah,
anymore.
It takes away this, yeah, the mystery of...
He wipes his mouth with his arm.
He's got ketchup coming down.
Like Homer Simpson's coming to get Luke, which, I mean, God.
Yeah. Which, yeah. And that's like a lot of scary movies that have like monsters as like the main...
I find it works best to barely show the monster.
Yeah, it's scarier when you don't see the monster. Yeah. So
unless the monster's actually terrifying. Yeah, like so Alien.
There's this...
Let's say.
Yeah. So there's this movie called... what is it? I think it's called The Abyss. Where it's like... You might have heard of it. It's that movie where they're like cave divers.
Is that James Cameron? I don't remember.
I think so. They're like cave divers... And, yeah, they get lost in a cave, and it's super dark, and there's something in the cave with them. That movie is fucking frightening.
Really? I've never seen this movie.
Until they show the monster.
Oh.
And then it's not scary anymore. It's way scarier when it's just dark.
I feel like that... I've heard of this movie. I feel like it was the, other side of the coin to Event Horizon, which is in space, and, like... There's some portal opening in a wormhole of, like, all these terrible images are coming out, and the monster ends up being Sam Neill, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
but yeah, I like Jaws. You barely, when you see, if you saw too much of it, you'd be like, that's not that
stupid.
Bad.
Yeah. Especially because, like, back then, like, FX were not
but
as good.
I mean, it was good for the little bit that they used.
I mean, but Jaws scared a lot of people going in the ocean for years, even
I
to today.
I am still afraid.
Yeah. Smile, you son of a...
But, I just...
What's your favorite part of Empire?
My favorite part of Empire?
Besides the Battle of Hoth.
Besides the battle... I might not put that at my... I don't know. It probably is.
I mean, the music.
Dak!
What?
Dak Prescott.
Dak got him.
Dak Prescott. Yeah, Hoth is unbelievable. I mean, I love it because it shows you, like, the Empire's like, I don't give a shit.
They're badass.
Like, yeah, like, you're rooting for the rebels in A New Hope, and they pull it off.
Somehow. The Force.
And, you know, it's easy to just continue their, like, kind of, like, they're fighting... And they can always just mention how bad the Empire is, but they always kind of win. They could have gone that direction, but immediately, pretty much immediately in Empire, you see the Empire being this big bad that we've been told that they
the
are.
The rebels lose that battle.
Yeah, and they get crushed. I mean, it's not even
a
competition.
A tactical retreat.
Like, they get, like, what, two of the AT-ATs, you know?
Yeah.
So
Luke gets one single-handedly.
Yeah. So, but other than that, I'm trying to... Harrison's amazing in that one, too.
Yeah.
He's at the peak of the character in that episode. And the perfect combination of, like, still a little bit selfish, but he's out, obviously, still helping and protecting his friends. And has that perfect amount of, like, swagger, sass...
Yeah.
With the funny and serious mixed in.
I love you. I know.
God, no. We'll get to that.
We'll talk about cheesy lines
later.
Oh,
my God. I'm trying to think of a cringeworthy moment. I think for most people, it's probably Luke saying, like, no! You know?
Yeah. The I am your father part.
Like, him, like, that realization. But it works for me. I don't. See it as
it's like it's kind of like a calm moment.
Yeah
but
which
a little
also
more,
works for me
yeah.
Well, in the original one, the new one, it's pretty cheesy. I that might be the closest to a cringeworthy moment. It's definitely it's Lando.
Yeah.
Who's awesome, say. By the way. Hello, what have we? Every time I'm just like, oh, I can't take him seriously. Like,
who's the guy that, like, is his right-hand man, the, like, cyborg guy?
Oh, yeah, with his, like headgear. Like,
what the fuck does he do?
I like that you're, what is he? I don't
he
know.
He does something, but, like...
And, like, he's connected to, like, Lando's wristwatch.
Yeah.
Like, but, I like that, where you're just like, I don't know what he is, but I, okay.
Yeah.
But I want to know who's like, you know what Lando needs? You know what Lando fucking needs?
A cape? A cape. He needs it, though, man.
If you look
Cloud
up,
City, baby! You're not going to be in a place called Cloud City and not have a cape on. What if you need to, like, fly somewhere and glide? What if you need to glide?
I thought you were going to say, like, Cloud City sounds like a club. And he's just like... It I does feel a like, bit. You know, he's got his cape, dude. That's what he needs. But if you look up Lando Calrissian, just type that into Google, and it's like the production photos before Empire came out. And they have him, like, swooshing his cape in the photos.
It's an integral piece of that character.
They're the greatest things. I didn't even have a pun one year. I just made that my fantasy football picture. That was just, like, my logo. It was just him, like, and swooshing his cape.
Was your team name just Lando's Cape?
I think it was, hello, dot, dot, dot. So, yeah, it's the greatest. So, that probably the most cringeworthy,
when you first
non-serious
meet,
thing for me.
Yeah, when you first meet Yoda, it's kind of like, ugh.
No, it's not.
Yeah, he's just, row, row, row. And he's eating taquitos or whatever.
Yeah. He's eating taquitos. He totally is eating taquitos. I still think that works.
That whole, like, part of the movie is really
good. It's supposed to be a goofball at first.
Because you're like...
And you're like, yeah. Because, yeah, you're right. When you're first meeting you're like, what the fuck is going on? And I don't remember that reaction because I was a kid. And I can't separate myself out. I try to look at it and go, what if somebody saw this for the first time? Yeah, it would probably be like, where did we end up?
Yeah.
But it works so well because... They were
well. Once able, they reveal that Yoda is the, like,
and I love whoever master. Like the voice actor for him and even the puppeteering, like the mannerisms change for Yoda, and he becomes like you respect him as a wise teacher. And I don't know if it's the nostalgia and me seeing it as a kid makes the puppeteering hold up. Maybe somebody as an adult looks at that and goes,
yeah, it's what we got.
I just. Everything about that movie is, I could watch it many times.
Yeah.
And even without the modern choreography at the end, the lightsaber duel, there's so much emotion in it. You've been leading up to this moment for two movies, like wanting Luke to be good enough to face Vader, and you're hoping he wins. And
but you know there's no goddamn way he can.
And you're like, but maybe because it's a movie.
Yeah.
And he. I love that they just end it with him just getting lit.
Yeah, because Darth Vader's playing with him.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't want to just kill him.
Yeah,
because There's a time, there's like maybe 2 minutes into it, he's already on the ground without his lightsaber, like Luke.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, he's dead. If Vader really wanted him dead.
Yeah. And then I love when Luke gets a shot on him, and it's the classic, oh! sound.
Yeah, the raw.
yeah. And he actually starts breathing a little heavier because I think he hits him in some...
No, he, like, hits his shoulder.
Yeah.
But I love that moment, too, because Vader's like, fuck this.
Yeah. He's like, alright, you little punk-ass bitch. I'm gonna put you down, son.
Oh, I better tell you about that.
Oh, yeah, I'm your dad. It's like, that's like the biggest mic drop part, too. It's like, yeah, your best friend lied to you, and I fucked your mom.
It's such a great, like, reveal, and I think, like, that moment alone is why I hate, like, getting things spoiled for me, because it's just one of those moments where you gotta sit there, and that's why it works for me with Luke, too. You're trying to take it in with Luke. It only becomes weird after you know the information, and then Luke reacts to it, and you're not reacting anymore. And then he seems like a little bit like, hey, man, calm down.
Whoa. Don't get your panties in a bunch.
But when you first hear that, you're like, what? Like,
yeah.
This has to be some elaborate scheme.
You say what Luke says. That's not true.
That's impossible. Yeah. But in lieu of talking about Empire for the rest of this podcast.
Yeah.
So number two on the list.
This is where we could change. Because mine is 7.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah. Because, well, I will give my explanation why it's not New Hope. Is because I like Rey in that movie more than I like Luke in New Hope.
I can't argue with that. I think it's more than just that character.
Yeah.
But that's
a big part of why I like Sailor Moon.
I can respect that, because Rey does a better job as Rey than Luke
does as Luke.
I can respect that, because I really like Rey's character a lot. And more so maybe than Luke in A New Hope, even, because Luke, I think they do a decent enough job of showing he's kind of growing and going outside of his bubble, but he's kind of whining while he does it.
Yeah, he's very whiny.
And Rey is not like that.
No, she's a strong, independent woman.
but they're able to still do.
But she's still struggling with who she really is. Yeah.
But yeah, for me, it's still A New Hope. And there's a lot that rides in that. I think Harrison's still great as Han Solo in that. He's actually pretty refreshing. You have, like, this wise character at that point. You have, like, this kind of epic scene at the beginning. You have Luke, who's trying to figure out who he is. He's a little bit whiny. And then you get this guy coming in out of nowhere, and he's badass. And the first scene you see him in, he just shoots some guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's just
and
nonchalant.
Then he flips a coin to the bartender.
Nonchalant. It's like it's Western space beautifully, like, combined.
And then, of course,
in this moment,
you have the classic dun 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 dun.
But you just, like, I love this character. I don't know who he is or what he's going to do with my characters. Like need to see their destinies fulfilled. Luke's obviously, like, I need to see his arc. I don't know how he's going to play into that. I don't necessarily trust him, but goddamn, he's awesome.
Yeah.
So, that like, introduction was just one of my favorite, character introductions. And Han Solo being my favorite character from the entire series, just my whole childhood, of just, oh man.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Right.
But,
Which is another reason why I like 7 a lot, because
we will have to mention we're going to spoil everything about 7.
Yeah.
We'll put that in there.
Yeah. Because someone dies in 7, which nobody dies in 4.
That's
besides, well, Obi-Wan dies.
But he's built up as a character, like, you care about Obi-Wan's character, and he's got a little bit of that sass too, especially when Han Solo gets around. He's like, I've lived, guy.
Yeah.
Like, I can stay toe to toe with you. But you care about him as a character.
Yeah.
There's your cringeworthy scene from A New Hope, by the way.
Is that the Obi-Wan
is
actor?
The Obi-Wan fight?
Oh. Yeah.
That's
pretty bad.
That's pretty bad.
And the actor who played Obi-Wan doesn't care about Star Wars? Like, hates
No, he
the,
doesn't.
He
but
hates
it doesn't,
the franchise.
It doesn't show up in his, like, character, like, as a story.
If he liked it, though, he probably would have done a little better job.
I don't know. he was good. I feel fine with his...
Okay.
I feel fine.
And this might be an unpopular opinion for many, but I love Kylo Ren.
I don't know if that's an unpopular opinion, because Kylo Ren is such a great character.
But many people do not think so.
Well, they're
many
wrong.
People think he is whiny and he looks goofy and dumb.
Yes.
But exactly. So, like, we understand as, like, story writers and story appreciators, like, we understand that character dynamic of, like, he wants to be something he is clearly not.
Yeah.
He is a teenager that has anger issues and is whiny. And needs to put on this badass costume, because if he didn't have that, he would look like a punk-ass bitch.
Yeah.
Because he kind of is. And he's trying to be something he is not. But, like, his anger is what fuels that character, and is what Anakin should have been in the prequels.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I was going to say, there's a fine line. Because you could have all the same complaints about Anakin you can have about Kylo, but it's Adam Driver's, like, performance and the development of the character and the story.
I mean, just, like, the part when, like, I love Finn as a character, too. All the characters are really good.
Yeah.
That point when Kylo sees Finn, he's like, traitor! And he's like, legitimately, like, you bastard, you've wrecked everything, you asshole. Like,
and it worked, like, again, Adam Driver does a great job, and they've earned that moment, I think, because you have the moment between, and we'll talk about, obviously, this in more detail, but Anakin and Obi-Wan in Revenge of the Sith, where he's like, I hate you! You know, yeah. It's a very similar scene. And it just is
but
like...
But Hayden Christensen's not a good
no,
actor!
No, he's not. And it's been such a horrible series of that. We'll get there.
Yeah. And I like Finn's character a lot as, like, the person who... Sort of the other side of the coin of Kylo Ren, trying to be something he's clearly not.
Yeah, yeah.
But has right motivation. And I love... God, I'm blanking on the other badass dude, the like real bad guy.
Oh, Snoke?
Snoke, yeah.
Like Snoke.
I like Snoke
That's
a lot.
We don't
get much of him.
True.
But I like the potential he has.
Maybe. I hope they use it well. I don't want another Emperor. I really don't.
And I like when I first saw that movie and I was like, "Oh my god, this guy's huge." And then it was just like
I was actually worried. I was like, well, there's Disney. Like, that's like when I first was watching that scene, I was like, no, no, no.
Yeah.
Okay. It's still not the greatest CGI. And he seems, I don't know why they had to go CGI for that, really. But we'll see where it goes. Right now, I'm fairly indifferent about Snoke. Even the name. The more I think about Snoke's name, what are they doing?
It's probably not his real name.
I'm sure it's not. But I don't know. That part, that's the part of the movie I kind of just, I mean, and I don't, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't dislike it, but, and I think Kylo Ren has one of the most badass introductions.
Where he stops the,
he stops the beam.
He stops the laser. Yeah. It's awesome.
I was like, oh shit. When I first like, cause in the theater, like audibly, I said that.
Oh, me too.
And I was like, oh, there's probably kids here.
No, because it's just people our age at this point.
Yeah.
One last thing before I start really going into...
And Poe's a great
character. Force Awakens also. To just make sure I state enough about A New Hope. You can't... I mean, that last scene, them attacking the Death Star is so good. Like, the tension building up to it. And you, like, even now watching it, them going through the trench run is like, oh, God. You know, like, I still feel, like, that on edge, like, hurry up, like they're going to shoot the damn planet. So, it just works so well. And it's just, it's so good. It's just such a good action that's getting played out. It's getting more, the stakes are getting higher and higher and higher as you go through that scene. And they build it really, really well.
Yeah, which the quote-unquote trench run in Episode 7 isn't as, like, there's not as much as that
it's
tension.
It's real quick. It's real quick.
But it's badass.
It's still cool.
Like, Poe is sweet.
It's the secondary story, I feel like, because it's really about Han Solo and Kylo.
Yeah.
It's really about Rey and Finn and facing Kylo. It's about their story and the lightsaber duel. It's not really about, like, I almost feel like they set it up like, it's kind of like the Death Star, and you know it's going to get blown up. That's not really what we're concerned, like, showing. We want you to see the characters, because that's who we're going to... That's the story. That's what's going to be next time.
That's what's
going to
continue.
We need you to connect here. Yeah. We just need the side story. Like, it's funny to think about, like, blowing up the bigger Death Star as the side story. I feel like it's kind of background to the real things going on. It's just the, like, yay, Star Wars in the background.
Yeah.
To, like, but these are the characters we're developing. And they kind of wrote themselves into a corner, and they had to get them off the planet. But it's okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
There's two things that I wish they had done differently.
Okay.
And they're tiny, nitpicky things.
Okay.
First, I really wish that Captain Phasma was the one that attacked Finn. Like, when they have a duel with, he duels a stormtrooper, I wish it was Captain Phasma.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of TR-8R? They could have, like, written her out. Like instead of, like, getting wrecked by the bowcaster, you know, some lasers could have hit from the X-Wings, and then she could have, like, had to...
She got blown
retreat
back.
Yeah, exactly. Knocked out, whatever. Yeah. Just write her out of the scene without dying. Easy enough to do. They could have had her in there. And I think that would have been something for her character to do something and fight for the First Order. And it would have made sense later when Finn has to confront her. Like, there's some kind of depth to that scene.
Yeah.
Where it's, instead of just...
Do it.
Yeah. Hey, you gotta do this. We captured you. Like, when did that happen?
Yeah.
So that was the, yeah, that was.
Yeah, and you can you can argue that her hubris gets the better of her, because, like, I have trained these soldiers personally. There's no way that you're going to, like, get away with this.
Yeah, but it's convenient plot. Yeah. Again, it's just to make the side story happen while the real story is going on.
Yeah.
But, again, I absolutely love this movie. And it's my third.
Okay, so our
Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
But the other thing I wish they did is that when Rey comes back after being brought back from everything that happened at the end. So when she comes back with Finn and Chewie, Han Solo's died, it's towards the end of the movie, it's pretty much the end of the movie.
Well, Finn's messed up.
Finn's wrecked.
Which I love. Because Kylo Ren just goes, fuck you.
Yeah, again, it's another moment where...
Yeah, because Finn hits him.
He's kind of dicking around with him. And he obviously could have killed him, like, two times before, because he hits him to the ground, and then he, like, hits himself, you know?
And then he cuts into him?
Then he gets, he gets cut, and he's like, nope. Yeah. And he just, like, the literal next thing he does is hit the lightsaber out of his hand and slices back up.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, like, and I hate the people that are like, oh, he, like, Finn put up a fight. No, he didn't.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. Not at all. Like, this was...
Which I love how Kylo punches himself, too. Yeah. It's the, like, best.
And then it's like, well, Rey doesn't know how to fight. Yeah, but he's not willing to really kill Rey either.
He's trying to do a Darth Vader.
And he is hurt. Again, that bowcaster has just totally annihilated people.
It blows up like three.
And he got hit with it. And he's still fighting. And people seem to forget that. And
Rey has...
I think there's...
Has this thing over him that... She can beat him in a mind game.
Yeah, he's does have this, like, she's not, that actually works as a plot point. She hasn't trained, and I'm not even going to admit it to myself, she's better than me, you know?
Yeah.
And I've trained so hard and come to the dark side for more power, and she knows nothing, and she can beat me. So that's part of, like, what's going on with their characters. But anyway, back to the other, when they come back, I wish... God, why didn't Leia and Chewie hug?
Yeah.
When Han died? Yes, Han is Rey's kind of mentor-ish character throughout the movie. And so it's hard for her, obviously. She's going to have to deal with this throughout the rest of the series, I'm sure, as will Kylo. I feel like Finn will, but I don't think it's going to be a part of his arc as much.
No.
But why, like, I would have loved, even if Rey was there, like, I would have loved if Chewie just waited or something, or just came right up, and they just had that moment, you know? And you're just like, oh, because Han and Leia have that moment before he leaves.
Right.
And she's kind of, like, she's kind of battling emotions, and you have to understand, she's got the Force, like, she doesn't know how to use it. And it's like, does she know, you know?
Well, because she senses it when he dies.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just such a, it's one of the parts that telegraphs his death, because I think it is telegraphed, but it's just a great moment between these, like, returning characters, and they've had, obviously, like, this harsh life where they separated, and it didn't work out, and I think that's really good for their relationship, but, I really, really wish that Chewie had...
He's a Wookiee. He deals with depression in his own way.
I know. They showed him, like, for that one shot of him, like, all sad, and that was hard enough to watch. But, I don't know. I just felt that would have really connected, like, the emotions to the old movies. Like, the old movies are dead. You know, like, that it would have been that moment, like, this is the new stuff now, and we're sad, but we're happy, and it's a weird mix.
Yeah.
But, so, that's number three for me. Number two for you.
Yes.
So... Number four.
Oh, okay. Number four is Return
of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Return of the Jedi.
Revenge of the Sith. Number four?
Number four behind...
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Numbers are hard.
Number three for you
is New Hope. Which we've already talked about.
So number four is Return of the Jedi. And obviously...
Cause Ewoks are great.
I don't mind them.
Yeah.
I think it gets a lot of hate for a few different things.
For Ewoks
Being one of them. I think it has it kind of has a happier ending than it probably should.
They're dancing on the dead bodies that are falling.
It has a happier ending than it probably should.
Like, Ewoks are beating the heads of as drums.
And then we'll get into the really cringeworthy part for me, so I'll talk about that later. But it gets a lot of hate for some of the things that I think work. I think I've seen a lot, too, where people say, like, Darth Vader becomes a different character that I don't like. Like, he starts becoming too soft.
Huh.
And I don't see that. I think it's a really good progression, because he's still kind of trying to bring Luke over, but he's dealing with his own emotions about it, and I think it's done really well. Like, even when he's talking to the Emperor, and the Emperor says, like, you're going to go down on the planet, and Luke's going to find you. Don't worry about it. He's like, he will come to me.
Yeah.
The weird inflection, but he doesn't even want to deal with it. Like, oh, I guess I got to do this. Like, and you can tell he kind of struggles. Like, they take a little while. They make sure they show a scene of them together without the Emperor. And Luke's trying to talk to Vader. And, trying to call out to his dad in there, and Vader's like, no, he's dead. And even as he says it, you're kind of like, I don't even think he believes it. And it's not like he just instantly turns against everything he's been fighting for.
3 times.
He takes forever to make a decision as he sees his like son dying in front
of
him. And he picks him up, and all he does is pick up the Emperor and throw him over. It's not like he's like, I'm a light side now.
Yeah.
Like, he just wants to be connected with his son. And I don't think, like, he falls or he gets... It's like a weird redemption moment, because it's not like he's saying, like, I will never be a part of the dark side again. Like, he dies. But,
yeah.
And he says, like, you know, tell your sister, you know, there was something good in me still. But it's still, like, it's just this need to connect with his family, need to connect with something that he still has left of maybe something that he used to be, which I don't know why you'd want to connect with Hayden Christensen ever again, but it really...
Blue Ghost Hayden Christensen?
It really works, and I really like the Ewok. I love that whole battle on the ground. People say, why it was... I guess I'd read somewhere it's supposed to be Wookiees, and they... for whatever reason, wanted to market more to kids and toys. But it's supposed to be Wookiees that they kind of stumble upon. Huh. And obviously Wookiees would be badass against the Empire, and it makes sense. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
They
get him in the prequels.
I love the
they
space.
They go to Kashyyyk.
I love the space battle. It's so cool.
It is a good space battle.
It's so cool.
Yeah! Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. You know, just different tactics going on. They have to kind of just hang out. You know, like, please God, I hope Han does it. So I love that, too.
Yeah.
No capes, though, which is disappointing.
Well, yeah, he's in a chair.
Yeah. You can't have a cape.
That's true. It'd be uncomfortable. Sitting on your own cape, you know?
Yeah.
Gets everywhere. Try to go for a control way off to the right, and you get caught in your cape, and then you die because you couldn't get it. You know, it's it's too much work. I really like the opening scene where they're retrieving Han, barring the singing and dancing.
Okay.
barring the most cringeworthy of all cringe in the originals.
Oh, God.
Yeah, barring that, I like it. If that wasn't in it, that'd be, like, really good.
Because I liked the Sarlacc scene.
The Sarlacc pit's good. Even the Rancor.
Oh, yeah, that's
besides,
cool.
Like, the fat guy going over and crying over it. It's kind of cringe,
right.
Too.
That's right.
But, I mean, the whole, like, you know, Lando and Princess Leia are, like, undercover, you know, sort of thing. And
Yeah.
Boba Fett goes down like a little bitch, which I don't really like.
R.I.P. Boba Fett.
Because I love Boba Fett.
Boba Fett is horrible at his job. Oh, well, he does a good job in...
It's because he can't incinerate. Imagine if he could incinerate.
Why doesn't he incinerate right then?
Because he gets kicked. And then
he literally has all the heroes on one ship, which, by the way...
He can just blow up the whole ship.
Yeah, he can just blow up the whole ship, and the whole... There's lasers, like, they're shooting from up above.
Yeah.
But he could literally just flamethrower.
He's really bad
missile,
at his job.
All the incineration he wants right there.
Yeah. It's true. He's really bad at his job. Hopefully he's better at his job.
Maybe
in
he's
the
you know what?
Anthology.
I never thought of this before. There might be a reason why he's like that.
He's old as
Where
fuck.
Did he come from as he blasted over there?
The ship.
The barge.
Yeah.
What were they doing on the barge?
Drinking a lot.
Drinking a lot.
But you don't think that Boba Fett, the master of all bounty hunters, would be like, no, I need to keep my
his
wits
greatest,
about me?
This is his greatest victory, all
That's
right?
true. He'd be like, I finally
got him. He
probably
got enough money for a Han Solo. Just, I don't give a shit anymore.
He probably was drunk, and he probably busted a nut somewhere in there. And, you know, he's not pent yeah. up. You know?
Although...
A
counter for that argument automatically is I would be more inclined to push the flamethrower button if I was drunk. I'd be like,
maybe he tried, but he accidentally shut the wire out.
Oh, shit.
God damn it. And, you know, there's a princess there in a super sexy bikini. He's distracted.
Maybe she'll see me.
Yeah. Do clones have dicks? Why would they make dicks on them? These are the questions we need answered, Lucas. Disney.
Revenge of the Dicks.
That's a different... You don't look that up.
Oh, God.
Don't look that up. And then another really cringeworthy scene is when they get captured by the Ewoks. And they're like,
oh,
the little like poles,
and
they're gonna get cooked or whatever.
Like, yeah, that's pretty campy.
And like they like
floating
he levitates
around.
C-3PO.
Yeah, that's pretty campy.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right. You're
that's
right.
pretty bad too.
Oh,
But besides that, I mean, the speed bike chase is really cool.
Yeah.
You
do. I mean, you still have a
Sarlacc
continuation.
Fight is cool.
Of the characters, and you really, I mean, they're so established and cared about at this point. Although I feel like that was Harrison's worst Han Solo.
Probably.
I feel like he just wasn't having fun anymore at that point. Like,
he's
just
like, get me
just
out of here.
Kill my character, for Christ's sake.
Because he wanted that.
He wanted that.
And they get there.
Yeah, that's why he likes it. That's why he looks
That's
like,
why he was so happy in all the interviews
yeah,
and
he's
stuff.
Like, thank God. I don't have to.
Jeez. I almost killed myself, but in real life.
Yeah, I know. But no, it's still. Really holds up. Another thing, because I was listening to that podcast about X-Men Apocalypse.
Right.
They have that, like, throwaway joke when they go see Return of the Jedi in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
And they say, the third one's always the worst. And, first of all, I guess they're talking about Last Stand. I guess they're making a joke about themselves. That's my guess.
Yeah.
But then they're also assuming that Apocalypse is good, which it isn't, really. I mean, it's fine.
It's the worst one of them.
Oh, yeah. Not worse than Last Stand.
No, I mean, of the new ones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By a long shot.
Yeah.
Besides X-Men, or I mean, Wolverine Origins or whatever.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the three,
past future. But you're also, like, comparing your own movie to Return of the Jedi. And yes, it's the worst of the trilogy, I guess. But it's still, like, so good. Like, I still love it. And I don't think it's a nostalgia factor. I just still think it works really well.
Right.
There's some questionable choices in it, but it's still really good. Don't compare yourself.
But the third one, as far as Star Wars goes, wasn't the worst. Eventually.
That's true.
You know, so they could be making fun of that.
And technically,
too.
The third one's the best of that one, which leads to our number five.
Which is...
Wait, are we on five?
Yes.
Yes.
Revenge
so
of the
being six.
Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the Sith.
Is the it's the best one, honestly.
I think that one is clearly the best one.
Yeah, there's still a lot of bad parts in
it's still
really bad.
Huge gap between that and Return of the Jedi, and anyone who tries to compare those two, like, you're just wrong. Like, it's so far behind Return of the Jedi.
Like, General Grievous is stupid as hell. The end fight is really cool, but there's, like, some
it's
bad...
It's so long. It's too long.
It's really long.
Like...
And there's some bad lines in it. You were the chosen one!
Only a Sith deals in absolutes, he said, absolutely.
Yeah. And the...
Anakin, you tearing me apart.
I just try to remember.
And the no.
At the end. Let's see how long you.
I could have gone longer, but
yeah.
Is bad. And is that the one with? No,
I should have rewatched the prequels before I did this.
I'm not wanting. But yeah, it's is that the one where Mace Windu dies?
Yeah,
is it?
Yeah,
yeah. That seems pretty bad. Yeah. Like,
well, that whole
unlimited power and like the younglings.
Yeah, that I. You know what I loved? I did like Yoda and Obi-Wan fighting through the clone troopers to get to that point. So that was cool.
When orders,
it was like it's like 2 seconds, and they're just like slicing through them. You're like, God, yeah.
And Yoda jumps on the wall and shit.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I can do. Oh, well, that's over.
Yeah. Yoda fighting is
my favorite. I think the one scene that really makes it like so much better than the other two is the opening scene. Like, I really enjoy everything about the opening scene until they crash land.
Yeah,
that actually feels like a little bit more Star Warsy, I guess, is the right verbiage on that. It feels like it's serious but still fun, and I'm enjoying it with like the characters, if you want to say that, because Obi-Wan and Anakin almost look like they're having fun doing it.
Yeah,
their chemistry is a little bit better than it's been in Attack of the Clones, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So they feel, it actually feels a little bit established, like they've worked together and they care about their teamwork, and it works. It's not great, but it works, and it's a really fun scene with some pretty cool like stuff going on.
Yeah, I would agree. It's still really bad though.
Oh yeah. Worst line for me is I love you. No, I love you. Like, oh my God. I know there's a lot of bad ones. That one, for whatever reason, just stands out. There's still ultimately no real connection with the characters. I don't care about what happens with Anakin. I should, like, that last battle, I should really just be invested.
You're right. It goes on forever.
It goes on forever, and when, like, Obi-Wan has to, like, break him, basically, like, I don't care, just get it done. Like, that's a bummer, because it should be the most emotionally like trying scene, is seeing those two fight each other. It should earn that fight, and it should be something that I'm like, but they're like brothers, and I care about both characters so much, but I don't at all.
Yeah.
and
I care about Obi-Wan,
but granted, like, Obi-Wan is fine in that movie.
Ewan McGregor is the only good thing about the prequels in general.
Yeah, in general. But especially that one. I feel like he really starts trending towards Obi-Wan. Like, he studied film or something. Like, I feel like by that time. And he really has, like, some of the mannerisms down that Alec Guinness used for Obi-Wan
Yeah, I think he did, actually.
So, I like his performance for what it is in that movie.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a shame because, again, it's one of those... I hate bad movies that have decent performances from people I like doing a role I like. So, like, The Hobbit is a perfect example.
Yeah.
God, what a waste. What a waste. For Martin Freeman to be that good as Bilbo and the whole thing to suck. But,
yeah. What's another good example? Like, Prometheus. And,
I liked Prometheus. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean,
okay, it's like all right,
yeah. So that brings us to
our
sixth, yeah, sixth,
which is surprise
hashtag.
Obviously, it's in the title.
Yeah, is Phantom Menace, because pod racing and Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Basically.
It gets a lot of hate, obviously, and it should. Because of the anticipation for it coming out, I think people remember it as the worst. Because of that anticipation, it's like the thing that started the horrible... I mean, the prequels are awful. Like, no one should watch them, ever. And There's really no reason to. I mean, the lightsaber fights are kind of cool until they just become way too long. There's really only the one good one, and that's Phantom Menace, which is what makes it better, I think, than Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, and another reason why Attack of the Clones is worse... I won't even say, like, Phantom Menace is better. I'll say Attack of the Clones is worse.
Okay. That's okay. I like
that. Is because little Anakin Skywalker gets a free pass because he's a kid. He's a cute little kid, you know? But Hayden Christensen doesn't get a pass.
That's true.
And
for me, like, Hayden Christensen's way worse.
Oh, than yeah.
As much hate as that little kid gets... For young
he
Anakin.
Was just saying the lines that were given to him.
What are you gonna do? You know? You don't have a director that's directing you. Like, everything's green screen. He's got nothing to work with. Like, yeah. He's just a kid, man.
All right, say this line that we wrote for you. Okay. Are you an angel? Like, you know?
I need a little bit more enthusiasm.
Are you an angel?
This is pod racing.
No more. Up.
Oh, God.
Then now this is pod racing.
Oh, that's yeah. The worst. Yeah, that might be the worst line.
No. The worst line is in Attack of the Clones, man. Sand.
No. Oh, no. I'm talking about from...
Oh, in that movie.
From Phantom Menace, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Darth Maul, badass, dude, goes out like a puss.
Darth Maul's so cool.
So...
He's so wasted. Cool. Like...
What a waste to, like, bust out the double-bladed lightsaber and totally don't do anything with it.
When he's on that bike,
and he's
got
flips
that
freaking, you
know? Sweet cloak.
Yeah.
And you're like, who the hell is this guy? And he brings out the little spy.
I love that he barely spoke, too, because that's part of the character. Like, it's just like, who the... He just goes really in is and, a Phantom Menace. Like,
he just goes in and wrecks, you know? Yeah. But he's not the real Phantom Menace.
Oh, my God.
The obvious and that, Emperor is...
I feel like that was the last... Well, that was, like, the lightsaber duel that was, like, finally... It was everything we wanted out of a lightsaber duel, except for how horribly Darth Maul gets killed. But,
he gets chopped in half pretty good, though.
But it's so dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb, but at least they chop him in half.
But there's no reason Obi-Wan should have gotten out of that pit.
Yeah, no.
But,
Force, man.
Okay, Force and really, like, oh, I'm chopped in half.
Yeah. Oh, hey, you're flying above me. Oh, you're landing in front of me. Oh, hey, oh, my body's gone.
It's what leads into the other lightsaber duels we get out of the prequels, which is like more CGI and more flips. It's like, God damn it. There really
the
wasn't
Yoda
that much
and
CGI.
The Yoda and Count Dooku fight is awful.
It's awful.
It's the worst it's the worst lightsaber battle in, I think, the whole franchise.
It competes with Yoda's I like that. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Bad.
Yeah,
it's bad.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I think this is gonna sound really bad, but I think I like Phantom Menace a lot too because of how blatantly racist it is.
Oh my God! What is wrong with you?
Not that I like racism. But they just don't care. And, like, I appreciate the balls on that, you know?
Like, for Jar Jar? What are you talking about?
No, for freaking the Galactic Trade Federation people. The Viceroys.
I just blocked them out of my mind.
Yeah, well, I didn't. Well, they were my fantasy team last year.
I know, I remember. I forgot.
but what about the Jedi? And then also Watto.
Yeah, Watto's
very
bad.
Racist.
Very bad.
Only money. Okay. So yeah, and like, yeah, so Bulba's pretty racist too. Just like Middle Eastern dude.
Is he?
I think so.
But I don't know. I
think he's supposed to.
Pod
be.
Race is cool as a scene standalone. It totally ruins the pace. Whatever little pacing there is.
Yeah, it doesn't fit in the movie.
Doesn't fit. It's really long and just like, what the hell just happened? But the race itself is fun. And I can appreciate that. I can appreciate I can appreciate scenes like that, Darth Maul, even like the space battle a little bit before you get to this is pod racing.
Even the when they're escorting the fake princess, I think is
and they jump down and it's kind of like, yeah.
And Qui-Gon kind of
like
wrecks.
I don't like the Gungan fight.
Oh God, no. And how accidentally everything happens for Jar Jar. Yeah. Like, what a happy accident.
Unless he's the most powerful Sith alive.
Shut up. But, yeah. So, I like scenes in Liam Neeson and Darth Maul from that movie enough. It's an awful, awful movie that I don't really care to watch again, ever. And I will somehow, some way. But Attack of the Clones
it's not the worst.
Has almost nothing at all.
One, it's a very extended scene. The Obi-Wan Jango fight.
It's not I feel like it's a really short scene.
No, because I'm saying it's extended because their space fight is
kind of cool too. Gotcha. Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying. So yeah, the him fighting him off.
Yeah, and he blows up that sweet bomb thing. Yeah. That's really that's really cool effects. Yeah. I really like all the asteroids blowing up and stuff. And then in the rain fight is really cool.
Yeah, you're right. Their interactions, I feel like
Jango's better at his job than Boba is.
Well, that's what you get for
that's what copying. You get for getting your head chopped off.
He's just getting a copy. It's a Xerox copy of himself, right?
Dickless?
Oh my god.
Who knows?
The
world may never know.
It's funny that you kind of have the entire original trilogy has the second and third one, you know, Han Solo, Boba Fett rivalry, but it's just funny. I feel like Jango and Obi-Wan fought more than they ever did.
Yeah,
like
which, you know, in the anthology series movie that we're gonna see a lot more of them.
Yeah, you mean like the Han Solo one?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like Han Solo, Boba Fett.
Yeah. I assume. Well, the third one's not confirmed. I don't think they'll do a standalone Boba Fett.
I don't think they'll do a standalone Boba Fett.
Because I think he'll be the bad guy from Han Solo. Yeah, that would make way more sense than
everything. They're just not going to be that.
Yeah.
I hope it's a... But now they've kind of... With Rogue One, they're already doing a in-between... New Hope and Episode 3.
Well, they're doing it with the Han Solo one too.
That's true.
It could all be.
That's true because I'm sure
they are all in betweens.
I hope it's an Obi-Wan and
Holly that would be great
with Ewan McGregor.
That would be so great. Like close-ish. Like he's older, but not.
Yeah, like but not as he's like
not Guinness.
What? How did he get to Tatooine?
Well, we saw him get to Tatooine, but maybe he gets.
Like, what did he do there?
Yeah,
path did he go on that, like, led him to stop being a Jedi, basically, you know?
And maybe he had one more adventure in him than they needed him for.
And then he realized if he continues to expose himself as a Jedi, he's gonna... Yeah.
So he needs to, like...
Stop.
Change his name to Ben, I guess.
Obi-Wan Kenobi's not gonna do it. I'll be Ben Kenobi.
shouldn't we change Luke's name? Nah.
I'll be Ben Kenobi, because I... been a Kenobi before. Boom.
Oh my god. everything else about the movie is god awful.
It's awful.
It's almost unwatchable.
The gladiator pit is bad, besides Natalie Portman's shirt kinda see her stomach. There needs to be more battle damage, Natalie Portman.
That's a niche. battle damage.
Well, yeah, and then when all, the Jedi come out and, save them, it's just ugh.
Some of the Jedi die so, the biggest wusses, too.
Yeah, and it's, so stupid.
And, again, Jango goes out like a bitch, dude. He's literally...
At least he gets his head chopped off.
He's literally just shooting straight at Mace Windu, and, oh god, he's on me. Well... Yeah. Even though he went through all this trouble to survive against Obi-Wan, he flies around, he kicks him, he's fighting for his life, he throws Obi-Wan over the side, he flies away.
It's because he's dry. There needs to be rain.
Maybe he got drunk. Maybe they were celebrating watching the gladiator.
Yeah, maybe. He could explain away all of the Fett's
deaths.
Don't
drink, kids. Jeez. But again, I feel like he... Oh, I got flanked. Oh,
yeah.
Just burn him.
I got rockets on my back. No, I think he already shot it at that point.
Oh, did he?
I think so.
I don't know. But it's bad.
It is bad. At least he gets his head chopped off and not swallowed whole by Sarlacc.
Yes. It's true. Yeah. You can't come back from that.
No, you can't come back from that. You know he's dead. Oh, you know he ain't gonna be in Star Wars 4.
His clone is. Well, yeah. Not in four. Well,
dickless.
Special edition. But Hayden's awful.
Sand.
So bad.
It was terrible.
Sand,
I guess.
The whole Sand conversation. Natalie Portman's bad, and she's a good actress.
That was one of her first.
Bad. Bad.
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor still isn't all that great. He's fine. Just nothing. Nothing in that movie at all.
I'll say there is one other. It's very, very quick, but when Ewan McGregor's in the bar trying to get information.
Oh, yeah.
That's a cool, like, how he's like, I'm street savvy. Obi-Wan, you know? But that's like five seconds.
They could have, like, totally played that angle, and they just didn't go
there. Maybe we'll see more of it if we get an Obi-Wan anthology.
He knows that cantina. He's seen some shit.
Yeah.
So.
Chops that dude's arm off.
It's true.
Dude's drawing arm.
All right.
So, that just goes to show Phantom Menace isn't the worst one.
Yeah. It's close.
It's very close. Jar Jar really tries to make it the worst.
Even with Jar Jar, though, that's just how bad Attack of the Clones is.
Yeah, because when you realize that, wow, Jar Jar at least added some sort of comedic relief.
No, he didn't.
Because he liked to make fun of him.
Okay.
You can't really make fun of him that much in the second one because he's not in it
that much. Then you could say there's comedic relief in all three of those.
That's true. Yeah. The prequels are just bad.
Yeah.
That's why we need to rewrite them.
Yeah. I got it, dude. I already got it.
Maybe we'll talk about that one day.
One day.
But then, yeah. Anyway. So, no mail this week, like I said. TheBrothersGeek@yahoo.com. If you have any questions or Twitter, BrothersGeekPod. That's BrothersGeek, P-O-D. Not the band. Boys from the South. Yeah, so...
And I was really excited to hear our friend Max subscribe.
Yeah.
Max, I'm relying on you for this first email. Whatever you send me, I'll just read and respond to. We just want something.
We want some sort of interaction with our new listeners that are coming in now that we're on iTunes. We want...
And international, apparently.
Yeah, we want interaction. So if you like this episode or previous episodes, make sure you give us 5-star rating on iTunes. That'll help us out. Get more exposure. I know that sounds like a lame plug, because it is.
Well, if you think it's 4-star, I give a 4-star, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
It might be 3-star. It's not a 2-star, I feel like.
It's not a Phantom Menace. But yeah, so give us a rating on iTunes, comment, you know, show some love, and we'll see you back next week.
Next week.
This is Patrick signing off.
And Chris.
And we always salute when we say that, but nobody can see it.
Yeah, every time, and we will continue to do it.
Yep.
All right.
So Patrick signing off.
And Chris.
Bye!